Welcome home. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. Hoping you set a spot out on your radio dial if you are so inclined when driving around. Our friends at the Maryland Lottery have been inclined to give us these Ravens scratch-offs that have been an incredibly lucky batch at Fadley's over the weekend. I had a $20 winner, and the fun part is I have the Maryland Lottery app on my phone, and it has a little scanner on it, so people scratch off this little part down here. It says check prize, and I go, boop, and I'm like Bob Barker. Wah, wah, when they lose. But when they win, it's like celebration, and the balloons go off. You're a winner, $20. I had a $20 winner, $5 winner, $2 winner. I took pictures with everybody. So come be a winner. I'm wearing my Costas shirt today. Maybe every day this week, because on Friday will be a Costas. I'll be having the Oysters Rockefeller so I can feel wealthy, even though my football team is 1-2. I don't know where the baseball team's going to be by Friday. I might need to, might be happy hour drinking, might be social drinking over there on Friday afternoon. Our friends at the Maryland Lottery are powering that up with our friends at Jiffy Lube MultiCare, and our friends at Cole Roofing have powered up the tech service. If you're back on the tech service, because everybody's back on the tech service, if you hear it in my voice, that's your fault. You hear my voice enough here on the radio. You need to hear now Baltimore Positive, Cole Roofing, the voice of Luke Jones for all things text. And the last thing I want is an injury report on Lamar Jackson, Luke. So you and I are going to fight a little bit in this segment because, but I don't know. They won. There's a million things to talk about. We can talk about Tucker. We can talk about anything with the defense and the sort of the collapse in the second half. But part of that for me is where's the offense in the second half? Where's what we saw in the first half? And really, for you and me in all of this, I think we both agree that this operation really does have a high ceiling, right? If they figure the offensive line out, this can be a high ceiling. But you are the one that brought up in a previous segment here. You can follow all of our work out at Baltimore Positive and read Luke's thoughts and my columnists as well out on the website. But they threw the ball 15 times. I don't think that's why they're using first-round draft picks on all these wide receivers and all this other on tight ends and where they are. Like, they want to throw more than this, right?
Definitely. Todd Monken wants to throw more than this. There's no question about that. But I think Sunday was a unique circumstance in the sense of one, we know that this offensive line has struggled in general. Two, I think you saw what happened with the Dallas Cowboys against the Saints last week. And even their week one win against the Browns looks a little bit different when you consider what the Browns. What their body of work has been through 3 weeks, that looks less impressive than maybe it felt in week one. But I think they looked at that Dallas front and said, okay, what are we going to do here? We're going to drop back with Lamar 30 plus times. Not that we don't like doing that, but dealing with Micah Parsons and dealing with DeMarcus Lawrence on the other side and what that could entail for your offensive line and for your pass protection. So, or you look at that front collectively and see that it's undersized and they have undersized linebackers. And you say, you know what? This is going to be a Derrick Henry game. And yeah, we're going to mix in some Lamar. We'll give Justice Hill a few carries here and there as well, just to keep them honest when we go with that kind of a offensive look. But we're going to run the football. I think the Ravens absolutely looked at this game and said, this could be a 200 plus yard rushing game for us. I think that that was always their idea, their vision going into this game. And for all the talk about changes on the offensive line, I mean, John Harbaugh even said on Friday, you'll probably see some different guys in there. Was there a little bit of an element of giving Dallas something to think about there? Sure. Was there a little bit of an element of throwing the fan base a bone, so to speak, in terms of all the angst over this O-line and Daniel Faalele and go down the list of all the different concerns about the O-line in general, sure, but I think some of this also was they were going to go out there with their starters, and if they needed to pivot, they were going to pivot. But if they're going to run the ball down Dallas's throat, as they did, then they're going to stick with that, and that worked very well. And second half, sure, I mean there are plays or there are a couple drives where you could look at it and say, okay, it didn't go as well as it did in the first half, for example, but they scored 28 points. Last time I checked, look around the league, scoring and offense and passing games and all that is down. So that's kind of what makes it even more perplexing to see what happened for the Ravens defense in the fourth quarter and what's happened to their pass defense collectively through 3 weeks. But in terms of their offense, I mean, do I think Todd Monken went into it and said, well, Lamar's only going to throw 15 times? No, but I think they went into this game thinking this probably wasn't going to be a 40 pass attempt game by any means if they did what they wanted to do. And, you know, that's why Derrick Henry ended up running for a buck 50 and throwing stiff arms and breaking tackles and scoring two touchdowns. And again, if you're going to run the ball, Lamar Jackson's part of that. I mean, he just is. We can debate how many runs are too many, how many hits are too many. I don't think he took nearly as many hits as he did against Kansas City, for example,
All right, so
but.
here's where I will interrupt you and just say situational. To me, it's situational. To
Sure.
me, if Lamar's going to run into linebackers, and I love to say that, as you like to say,
You do love to say that. You have to admit it. You say that all the time.
he's one of the few quarterbacks in the history of the game that, in the history of the game, that seeks contact. Cam Newton tried it for a minute. Steve McNair almost died from it at one point. I remember Steve Grogan doing it. Steve Young concussioned himself, and then there are guys that sat back and got concussioned to hell from Jim McMahon, Trent Green, straight on
I
through,
know the history
standing
of
back.
concussions.
Like, I
Yes.
get all of that. So we don't have to talk about that, right? Like, because like nobody would hit Lamar in the head and cheap shot him, right? Because I don't think they. I just think the quarterbacks are a little more bubble wrap. So I'll give you that there's a different set of rules. And I didn't even get into this with you last week. I got into it more with Leonard, where when people got pissed last week that he got shoved at the sideline, it's almost like he pulls up looking to get that late shove to get 15 yards. Like he wants to get shoved. Instead of other quarterbacks, Peyton Manning just wanted to get the hell out of bounds. But Tom Brady just wants to get the hell out, not take any contact. Peyton Manning would turtle up. Now, I'm not expecting Lamar to do that. That's not his game. But a hook slide here and again, instead of taking a shiver, I'd be okay with that. But situationally, when to run, how to run, who he is and what his profile is. You don't tell Superman not to fly. That's your quote. That will be your quote on his Hall of Fame bust when you're making the presentation there. When all is said and done in Canton, Ohio, 15 years from now, as the reigning pro football writer. Tell everybody what you are, Pro Football Writers Association. Because I called you Pooh Bah. What's your real title? I don't even know.
In the PFWA,
But your chapter vice president and assistant.
the chapter vice president for the Baltimore group.
And okay, so anyway, so you're like, so I don't, like Lamar and his destiny and his health and the destiny of the team, to me, when they're up 22 points in the third quarter and he's running up the middle of the field, after Henry has dominated, they haven't found Andrews all day, they're, passed the ball a little bit, but if your best chance to get there is to run and win, and that's who this kid is. Like, and I, God love him for that, right? Like, he's got no quit, no turtle, no hook slide. Like, find me the slide. Find me where he's ever slid. I don't know because he doesn't think that way. He just doesn't. And the morning after he gets injured, the next time, and there will be a next time. I don't know when next time is. You hope it's 2029,
Okay.
right? But that's not real. The after it happens, I watch Justin Herbert run around and I'm thinking that's the end, right? And I just don't want him doing that. I'll hear you on sleight of hand, first quarter, third and three. We got to get a first down. Fine. That's run number two of the game or run number four of the game. I don't need run number 8 or 10 or 11 being with a 22-point lead in the middle of the third quarter on the road in the middle of the field. I'm just saying, man. Like, even at the 2-minute warning, the fact that it got to the point that he had to be the guy taking the ball, as I wrote in my column this, the fact that it gets to that he's running the ball in minute 58 in a game where they had a 3-touchdown lead, they're doing something wrong. And the thing to me that's wrong is using him in a way that's not smart. That's all. That's all. I mean, he's got to run. He's Superman. He gives him the lead. He gives him this thing nobody else has. Then make him the decoy. Make him the decoy instead of the bait.
Derrick Henry ran
I've
25
dropped my
times on
lottery ticket
Sunday.
on that. Go ahead. I dropped my Raven. There you go. I'm dropped.
Derrick Henry ran 25 times on Sunday. Look, there's merit to what you're saying. And look,
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for at least pointing that at the beginning of it.
I will
Because
continue to say,
sometimes you look at
however,
me like I'm crazy.
because you wildly inflate the number of hits he's taken over the course of his career,
It's not about
because
how
he is
many he's
way
taken. It's
better.
about the one he can't take. I saw Joe Flacco take that one with Key. I mean,
Okay,
nobody's had a
right.
kill shot on Lamar. I would agree with you. He's amazing at avoiding kill
But
shots.
you just defeated your own statement there because Joe Flacco got hurt in the pocket. Lamar got hurt in the pocket 2 years ago. At some point in time, quarterbacks just get hurt. Like that's part of it. For all your talk about Lamar Jackson and Joe Burrow can't stay healthy either. I mean, like some of this is just it's football. So my biggest pushback to you is that you absolutely exaggerate the number of hits he takes. The Kansas City game, we were on. If you notice, I was very much in agreement for you with that specific game. But
I don't think he takes hits. I think he makes himself susceptible to hits. He's the quarterback. At any point, he can slide, and they're not allowed to touch him. I saw him last week literally go to the sidelines
by
playing
the way, I'm.
patty cake to get shoved. He got shoved, and the fans went nuts, and he didn't even get the flag. You know what I mean?
By the
So,
way,
like.
you said other. I've seen Patrick Mahomes does that all the time, trying to get a call on the sideline like
Well,
that. I've
Patrick Mahomes
absolutely
has
seen
40
that.
pounds on Lamar, and he shouldn't be doing it either. And if I were Andy Reid, I'd say, don't do that. Don't be a dumbass. I mean, our season's on the line. Don't take any contact you don't need to take. But if you have to take contact at the 2 minute warning to go sleight of hand with Zay and run up the middle to save the game, that's contact I'll hear. It still was contact I don't want him to take in minute 38 of that football game. I mean,
When
he
are
shouldn't be
we going to
taking
talk
that
about what the
contact at the end of the
actual
game.
problem?
Go ahead.
Can we talk about what the actual problem of the game was?
Sure.
The defense,
Okay.
and not finishing a football game. I mean, we can just run the same argument on repeat every week at this point. I mean, we clearly disagree in terms of, you don't want Lamar to run at all. That's fine. I am fine with Lamar
That's
running.
not true. That's not true.
You sure make it sound that way.
I want it to be a better fake out than a make out. You know what I mean?
Okay.
I want it to be the ultimate tease, the ultimate. They already know he can run. He's already in. They've already got to account for him in a big way. Make them pay for that with your arm, with Derrick Henry, with any of this arsenal of everything else. Give the ball to somebody else because they all get paid too, and that's really what he's getting paid to do. Not run sleight of hand at the 2 minute warning to save the game. That's
But
not that.
if you have to save the game, you have to save the game. Are we in agreement on that at least?
Yes,
Okay.
100%.
Okay. So if your problem is the runs that he the runs in the third quarter earlier in the fourth quarter, and I mean I think that in the third quarter, let me I have the game book in front of me. Third quarter, he ran four times for 36 yards.
I'd like to think there's some other way to beat them than this. That's all I'm
Okay.
saying.
Okay.
That, you
Well,
know.
again, Derrick Henry. I mean, did you want Derrick Henry to just carry it 40 times on Sunday? I'm asking
Well, they
truthfully.
just gave Justice Hill some money. You know what I want them to
Okay.
do? I want them to operate like a normal offense at the end of the game, be 22 for 28 or 31 with 274 yards and a touchdown pass or two. I want, you know what I really want?
But
And
they did
this,
that a lot last year, but you were
I
the one
agree.
clamoring for Derrick Henry then.
Well, to finish a game. Yeah, it's working
He
the
was
other
great.
way. They're
Yeah.
starting games and can't, you know,
Sure.
and Lamar's running in the linebackers at the 2 minute
Oh, and
warning
again, but
when it
this
shouldn't be
is
happening. That's all I'm saying.
we're still missing. Yeah, the plot here is that the defense is completely crumbling in the fourth quarter for really no reason, right? I mean, if you're in a position where your defense has been on the field for, through the first 45 minutes, the first three quarters, and it's a 30-15 disadvantage, and the defense has already been on the field for what should be a game's worth of snaps in the fourth quarter, then I'll hear something about, for example, maybe you're throwing the ball too much and you're not doing it very well and it's getting the defense back on the field way too quickly. But we're not seeing that, right? I mean, that's what was so concerning about this. And again, I'm not trying to change the subject entirely. I mean, part of what we're doing with Lamar is just, this is what we do, right? It's a little bit of pro wrestling, but there's also truth, and now we go back and forth about it. But this game's set up in a way that what happened in the fourth quarter should not have happened. Like, period. Because you ran the ball so well through three quarters, because your defense was not in a position where that they were completely exhausted, that they were on the field so much, right? I mean, so why did that happen? Also, that Dallas couldn't run the ball at all, so they were completely one-dimensional. Second week in a row, they've faced an opponent that the game script, game flow, score of the game, and also what that team was, what was or was not able to do, should have made them extremely predictable. So the Raiders were very predictable throwing the ball late in that game last week. And Dallas was very predictable, needing to throw the ball down three scores and not able to run the ball with any level of meaningful effectiveness. So
Well, when you
why
know
is
they
this
have to
happening?
pass, the pass rush has to be there to get him off his spot. You have to contain a running quarterback who could scamper for 12 yards and keep the sticks moving, which is what you're trying to avoid. And then you have to cover your ass off and no assignments on the back end. And certainly after the play, you have to tackle if there is such a thing as after the play.
Yeah.
You don't want the
So
play to happen, but you got to get, so all of those things, pass rush, communication, coverage, tackling. Oh. Here we go again. 18 minutes into this, I'm bitching about Lamar, blah, blah, blah. Linebackers, you and me, you're Mean Gene, I'm Vince, you're Bobby Heenan. No, I'm Bobby Heenan. I'm hitting you over the head with a chair. We haven't mentioned penalties.
yeah.
So we can talk about all this defensively, but then there's the penalty part of it too.
Sure. And look, I mean, you can be mad all you want about a couple of the penalties. And I'm not going to sit here and say that I've thought every single call the last couple of weeks were right. That said, I don't think the league is, I don't think there's a conspiracy. If there were a conspiracy theory, that would have conspired against the Ravens from building a 28 point or a 28-6 lead in the first place, right? So yeah, they've got to clean that up. And their penalties that are happening in any phase, whether we talked about the pre-snap penalties that really reared their head last week offensively, we've talked about it on defense. For every play like the Owe roughing the passer, where yeah, I scratch my head and look at that and say, really? I mean, that's really roughing the passer there. But there are
Well, the
others where.
lift, the push, and the delivery down becomes like a thing. The fact that Pereira's talking about it, the fact that Tom Brady, by the way, Tom Brady, do you think it's any good? That's another segment.
I don't think he was terrible, but put it this way, is he what Tony Romo, like what Tony Romo, which by the way, I think Romo has plateaued as an analyst, but he was a phenom when he started doing it. No, it's not Tony Romo. In fact, their previous number one guy had been Greg Olsen, right? I think he's certainly no better than Greg Olsen. I think Greg Olsen actually did a pretty decent job. Not that he's John Madden, the
You know
next,
what's amazing about Romo? It's almost like he went from having all of this enthusiasm, excitement, to where I was with up on the roof with Jerry Sandusky a couple years ago in Las Vegas, to saying this isn't as much fun as it used to be. It just feels like
Yeah.
Romo's not having fun, and it feels like Brady is so mechanical about, and there are these long pauses where he's clearly watching the replay to try
Yeah.
to figure out what he wants to say. And he processes the game at a level no one in the history of the world has. And by the way, Raskin and I got into this week, and I don't mind meandering. We have plenty to, we'd be fighting about Lamar and the Bills and all week, but the Manning cast on Monday night with Belichick, I haven't really watched it, but I've seen elements of it like later in the morning after that. Apparently, it's better than Joe Buck. And there's a point where you get bored with it. And I know 33 years of me doing this, there's some mornings you don't really feel like talking about last night's Corbin Burns effort, even though you put the whole evening into doing it. And I get all of that, but I do think there's a newness and a freshness in the case of Romo. And I would even throw this Adley Rutschman at it, that there was an enthusiasm about Adley Rutschman too, just a general energy that some, and Lamar's, guilty of this when the energy's good and bad. Ray Lewis, the energy never turned off for 17 years, week, like you never knew if they're winning or losing. You just knew there was the next play. And that's just sort of the energy that the team brought, that came with it, that comes with winning and all of that. And I think the broadcaster a little bit like that. The Brady thing to me, it feels like he's not ready for prime time. There's an energy about a game that Roma, that John Madden, boom, hey, he had it every day. And like it was something that even on his, it, when he got older, he still kind of even had a little bit of that kind of energy about him. And I think the broadcast from that perspective, and that's the weird part of Brady. I don't think it'll ever get good. That's my thought on that. But we were meandering. We were talking defense. I'm sorry.
No, it's fine. And I'd also say, I mean, give him some time. I mean, yes, he's Tom Brady, Hall of Fame quarterback, and all these Super Bowls. He's been a broadcaster, meaning the A team broadcast analyst for three games. So I hear what you're saying. And look, if you told me that that wasn't Tom Brady and it was just some generic analyst, I'd say it was totally fine, but completely unmemorable. You'd forget about it, and it's like, oh, it was fine. Anyway, back to the defense, where you look at this group, and how do you perform the way that you did for three quarters in the same way we talked about this for the first half against the Raiders, and it look as bad as it is at the end of the game, considering you shouldn't be all that exhausted, and you have a completely one-dimensional team that's chasing points, chasing the scoreboard, has not been able to run. I mean, man, for all the hand-wringing about the Ravens' handling of their offensive line this offseason, what the heck kind of plan was it to bring Ezekiel Elliott, who's probably 4 years past his prime, back to be your starting running back? I mean, you want to talk about, and you know me, I'm Mr. Football analytics don't want to pay running backs. That doesn't mean you can't put anything into it, right? That doesn't mean you don't put anything into it. So all of this is about Dallas. And look, the Ravens, CeeDee Lamb was largely a non-factor on Sunday, right? I mean, you're talking about an elite receiver there, but then you see Ferguson, six catches, 95 yards. You see their fullback making plays in some pivotal moments. There's missed tackles. I mean, they're complementary receivers catching touchdowns. I mean, just how does it go from so great to that bad in the fourth quarter?
We
And
mentioned
that's where I.
Brady. Brady was almost crapping on them that the fullback was
Yeah.
running like through the
Yeah.
pasture.
Right. And you just look at and the middle,
He's a
that inner.
fullback. I can hear Brady like, what are you doing out there?
That middle intermediate portion of the field continues to be an issue. When they're, when you, and I give them credit early in the game, they played press coverage. They were more aggressive and it worked. But then as the fourth quarter kind of commenced, all the things that they did well for three quarters just went away.
I'm going to
And
say they
you
missed
saw the
Jadeveon
same.
Clowney. I'm going to say that they're going to miss finishing plays. And where we are with Owe and with Madubuike at this point, and Roquan Smith and Kyle Hamilton, the special play, those are the two special players on the team, right? Like I think we and
I
Madubuike for
mean, I
what he
think,
does, yeah.
yeah. I mean, I one thing I did love that they did, I'd like seeing Madubuike lining up on the edge. I want to see them do that. Not every play. Let me be very clear about this. But when they gave him the contract that they did after the season that he had last year, and I even thought this, and he confirmed this a couple weeks ago when he was at the podium, actually, I thought he looked slightly leaner. Not like a dramatic body transformation, but that he shed 5 to 7 pounds, something like that. And I thought, you know what? Chris Jones lines up on the edge in big moments for the Chiefs. Why not do that with Madubuike? But to what you just
A little
said,
more like Reggie White build, you know, like, right?
to what you just said, I think, do they miss what Jadeveon Clowney was last year? Yeah,
And
but
what Van Noy was a year ago. You know, I mean, they had a
Kyle
real.
Van Noy's been excellent so far. I mean, he's back-to-back games with two sacks, right? That spin move was pretty devastating. Owe's been good. For me, though, their pass rush has just been a little too feast or famine. When it's been good, it's been like awesome. But then there's also been some periods of time where you'll find a lull. But what they really miss, and I say this with no disrespect to Zach Orr, I'm still a believer that Zach Orr, when it's all said and done, is going to be a good defensive coordinator. They miss Mike McDonald right now. I mean, they just do. They do. I don't think there's any way to dispute that. But I will say, in fairness to Zach Orr, we were having similar conversations about the Ravens defense early in 2022. Where's Wink?
So,
And the personnel was different. Not so much where's Wink, but it was just like, what is this? Like, why is Marcus Peters not very good? And why is this first round rookie Kyle Hamilton looking totally lost? Like all these different things. It took them some time. They rounded into form. It helped that they added Roquan Smith at the trade deadline. There's no question about that. That's an understatement. But 2 years later, you're kind of looking at this now, and where is Kyle Hamilton right now in terms of, when I see him, he's missing tackles. And where is Roquan Smith, who, if I'm going to be honest with you, Nestor, I think he's looked a half step slow in pass coverage. How much of that is the individual player, and how much of that is perhaps scheme and call, playing play calling and just maybe guys not being in the optimal place on any given play. It's probably a combination of both. And to your point, and Kyle Hamilton's been on the injury report some, he's probably not 100% healthy. He had a lot of nagging things over the course of even going back to the spring. He talked about it this past Friday. So, but the point is with that, you need your stars to be stars, and their defense, for as well as it played over three quarters, and there was a lot to really like about the defense through the first three quarters, it just completely went away in the fourth. And you can't have that. I'll take the defense that struggles in the first quarter before settling in way more than the defense that dominates in three quarters and then you're desperate to hold on at the end. I mean, that was a game that felt like if it were 5 minutes longer, they might have lost that game. I mean, that's how hairy, how unsettling, how unnerving the end of that game was. And they've got to figure that out. The makings are there. I still think this is a really good football team, but boy, you've got to put together 60 minutes, and it starts. Put argument about Lamar and the O-line and all those different things comes back to your defense has high expectations and has elite players at every level. You got to start showing up for 60 minutes, not just 30, not just 45, but 60. And until they do that, this is going to keep happening where it's going to feel like no lead is safe whatsoever.
He is Luke Jones. He is Baltimore Luke. You can follow his work out on the interwebs. The Orioles in New York this week, then in Minnesota. What's it? California, but I'm feeling Minnesota. I'm feeling Minnesota after they're losing in the way that they're losing, and the Ravens are winning and still not tasting as good as we want it to be tasting here in September at 1-2. Luke, I'm going to drop the Maryland lottery ticket here and say we're going to talk about consistency with the Ravens, because I think that's what the whole segment was just about, is saying where's the consistency? And that's what John Harbaugh was talking about all of last week, and I'm sure that'll be part of what he's talking about as he runs for me this week while you're covering baseball this week. The Maryland lottery puts us out on the road. I am wearing my costume. This shirt will be at Costas on Friday afternoon. Please stop by, say hello. We're going to be celebrating our mutual birthdays. Luke and I both share birthdays in the month of October. We're going to be on October 11th. I'm saying that's the off day after the Orioles are resting up for the American League Championship Series. That's Friday the 11th. We'll be at Pizza John's in Essex. Yes, they have a crab cake. They do not have oysters, but they might have fried clams on there. I don't know. I'm going to find out. I'm gonna ask that question. I know they have a crab cake at Pizza John's, and how would I know when I'm too busy getting the pepperoni pizza and getting the supreme pizza and getting those crinkle cut French fries and seeing the little ice cream bar they have there? Get on a Pizza John's. My wife ordered a pizza last weekend for the football game, and I said, "Call Pizza John's." She's like, "I don't know the number." I'm like, 410-687-7733. She's like, "How do you remember that?" I'm like, "I've been calling a number for 50 years. It's like 410-687-7733." So you got to say that. Anyway, our friends at Jiffy Lube are also powering us up for the Maryland Crab Cake Tour. And the Oyster Tour is just rocking right now with our friends from Liberty Pure Solutions, 1-800-CLEAN-WATER, as well as Curio Wellness and Foreign Daughter. Our 26th anniversary. I'm still working on getting the logo and the clam and the crab right. Just been a busy time around here. We got baseball, football, consistency problems, a 1-2 team, Josh Allen and the Buffalo Bills coming to Baltimore, the Yankees this week, the playoffs next week, we hope. Oriole magic numbers, consistency. Whew. I thought September was going to be more fun than this. Thank God for Pearl Jam and ELO.